But here we have Eliphaz, and you notice that his view is this. He's a very polite, and he presents things in a very reasonable way, but the only thing is his reasoning was not right. He was reasonable, but his reasoning was not based very soundly. Sometimes you have a reasonable man who didn't think through some things. And Eliphaz was such a man. So here there are three friends with Job trying to explain the mystery of suffering, like many of us. And sadly, many people still sound like them. There are still a lot of Eliphazes around. Bildads around. And Zophars too. They're still around. And Eliphaz is quite an interesting man. He tries to say, from my observation, Job, these things, as you're stroking his beard, I assume he has a long beard. Like these Chinese old ancient fellows who always stroke their beard when they talk wisely. When he's stroking his beard, he says, through my observations, Job, and Job was not stroking any beard, he was stroking his sores. You know? All over. So, as Eliphaz was giving his wise saying, he says, well, Job, through my observations, these things do not happen unless there's a sin somewhere, you know? Possibly. You know, I have observed these things and these things, and these things and these things. When A takes place, B takes place. And when A takes place, the other B takes place. All my observations, very polite, he presented it, but actually he was giving it to Job. Here are his reasonings in chapter 5, in verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. It's God who's correcting you. No, I think there's something from my observation, as I see it, from my experience, there's this causes. And he always goes back to that old argument. Look at Eliphaz's second speech, which is found in chapter 15. He got three speeches on it. Again, you see in verse 17, he has the same approach and experience. I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. That's a voice of experience. And in verse 34, now he's getting a bit more angry because Job keeps replying to all of them. And Job sort of run down all the arguments. Verse 34. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. In other words, he's saying, maybe, you know, do you know all these things happen to hypocrites? Implying that he's one. But he didn't want Job to say he's the one. He didn't want to say you're the one. He just said, you know, these things do happen to all these wicked and these hypocrites, etc. Implying that he's the one. Of course, Job read between the lines. The third speech after Job was arguing away. It's amazing how he could argue when he was feeling that bad. It was in chapter 22. Chapter 22. The third speech by Eliphaz. Now Eliphaz is getting very, very angry. And now he is a bit more direct by his third speech, with all his friends helping him. In verse 4 it says, is it because of your fear of him that he reproves you and enters you into judgment with you? Now he's still quite polite, he puts it in a question way. Is not your wickedness great and your iniquity without end? Now his philosophy is that all this suffering that Job is getting through is because maybe, Eliphaz is saying, maybe there's a sin somewhere. Maybe there are sins involved, there are iniquity involved. It's amazing that even today in the New Testament, there are Eliphaz around. When something happens, some Eliphaz somewhere, they may not go there and visit them after 7 days of silence. But they are still around and say, maybe this person has done that. What do you do if something bad happens to somebody you know? If your mind starts thinking like Eliphaz, you'll be having the voice of experience. You'll be saying the same thing. Maybe they must have done something. Surely only these things happen to those who don't know Him. That is Eliphaz. Repeated. Only difference. Born again, baptized in water. Tongue talking sometimes. Claw in Christianity. The second person, Bildad, is a voice of orthodoxy and tradition. Let's look at the three speeches of Bildad in chapter 8. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered and said, and these are among his things. Now here is why we say that he's a voice of tradition. In verse 8, he's always quoting from somewhere. For inquire please of the former age, and consider the things discovered by their fathers. He's always quoting tradition. He says, you know, there's this proverb that says this and this. There's this saying that is this, and it is true. While Eliphaz quotes experience, Bildad quotes from the past. His history is his basis. He said, look, this has happened to brother C. This has happened to brother D. This has happened to brother E. And you are J, Joe. He implies that same thing, same story. He's trying to imply the same thing. Looking at the Bildad again in his speech, second speech. And for Bildad's second speech, we turn over to chapter 18. He's a bit stronger than Eliphaz. In verse 5, while Eliphaz would say, maybe there's a sin, Bildad would say, definitely there must have been sin. It's a bit stronger. Eliphaz is maybe, until he got irritated, third speech is more direct. But Bildad saying, definitely there must be sin. He used definitely. Verse 5, chapter 18, verse 5. The light of the wicked indeed goes out. He's very direct. He's saying, Job, you know, the light of the wicked goes out. I think this thing applies to you, Job. And then verse 21. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked. And this is the place of him who does not know God. So he's stronger than Eliphaz, and he said, definitely there's some sin here. Because these things happen only to the wicked. Definitely. Job, repent. And in his third speech, Bildad in chapter 25 was a short one. And a short argument, talking about how can you claim that you're righteous, etc. And how can men ever be righteous? You know, don't claim to be righteous, Job. Very argumentative. And the third friend, Zophar, is the voice of assumption. Doesn't even try to prove something from experience. Doesn't even try to prove it from the past. He just states it as it is. Just see it and make his own conclusion. Very sweeping statement. And Zophar's approach, while Eliphaz is saying, maybe there's some sin involved. Why don't you examine yourself, Job? Bildad is saying, definitely there's some sin. Because these things only happen to the wicked. Zophar will say, you have sinned. You have sinned. You wicked man. You robbed the poor. You pursue. You took what was not yours. You stole. You told lies. That is Zophar. The most direct of them all. And let's take some of his arguments in chapter 11. Zophar the Naamathite. And he says in verse 5, but oh, that God will speak and open his lips against you, you wicked one. And he says, verse 6, no, he will show you the secrets of his wisdom, for they will double your prudence. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. In other words, he's saying, Job, your punishment like that is nothing. You deserve more. Wow, this guy. Job is already dead. Remember, there's no more room for boils. I don't know what Zophar meant. Whether Job also had to have internal balls. But this Zophar is a terrible fellow. He says, what you have this one, God didn't even punish you with the full measure that you deserve. This one maybe 10% only the tie or the punishment. Say, Job still got some more. He didn't really give it to you yet. That is Zophar, voice of assumption. And looking further at his speeches, as Job argued back, Zophar also get more hot. And he implies in chapter 20 of Job, verse 19, he implied this: he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build. All these things are not true, sweeping statements. And he says, look at the looking at your terrible condition, you must have done all these wicked things. You have done it. And he calls all kinds of things. Verse 29. This is the portion from God for a wicked man. That is Zophar. Now you understand why Job has to quickly defend himself. And that is Zophar's two speeches. And as we consider these three friends, we realize that these three voices continue every time something cannot be explained. Sometimes when it's something new, it could be a revelation from God, a move of God. Or for example, in what year was that? 1984 something. When in East Malaysia, it came out in the papers about the lights that came in a revival in Sarawak, in Bakalalang. We get all kinds of response from Christians. And some Christians would have the voice of experience. And they'll say, well, from my observation, it's maybe from God. Maybe, you know. See, all these people did come to know God. Maybe it's from God. You got all kinds of voices. And then sound the voice of tradition. They said, well, you know how many cults start that way? These strange sightings. And all these things. And there's a voice of tradition speaking. When others don't even reason, like Zophar, it seems like their brain was dysfunctional. It only comes out from their emotion. Like that. Don't even think about what they are saying. And they said, you know, well, not true one. They didn't even examine it. Didn't even go there. Didn't even read the account. Didn't even talk with the people. No, like all this makeup. See, when people react that way, you could tell where the Zophars are, where the Bildads are, and where the Eliphaz. They are still around, except they are now under different names. Under different banners. We pray none of them are your friends. When you're suffering, don't put outside the door. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar not welcome. Send them a note, say, I will see you after this suffering period. Not during. Because they come with all kinds of explanation. So those three voices are still around. They are still around under different form and different names and different banners. But Job has his own problems. Job has his own problems. Job could not understand why all these things are going on. And Job has his own reaction. Although he did not literally sort of curse God, but he did imply a lot of things against God. Although he didn't curse God in chapter 3 of Job, Job cursed himself. Let me show all the things that he did. In chapter 3, he cursed himself. He cursed his birth. He cursed his conception. He cursed his life. He cursed himself, which was not the right thing to do. I'm showing you a few examples of wrong things that he did, so that you understand why he also has to repent. The Bible did talk about Job repenting later on. Because there were also a few things that took place.